Can everyone hear me clearly?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Maybe we'll have like a technically free, issue free call. What would that be like? What's possible with that?
We all prayed for it.
Yes, we are praying. Meditated on it every day. Okay. Well, I have the top of the hour. And because it's really important to respect our time together, I'd like to go ahead and get started, and hopefully Randy and Genevieve will join us soon. Is there anyone that hasn't yet led a grounding that would like to?
This is Christine. I haven't.
Great. Welcome, Randy. We're just getting ready to be grounded by Christine. Thanks, Christine. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, sure. So if everybody could just sit up nice and tall. If you're able to, let your eyes gently close. Just take three nice inhales in, three big exhales out, and pause in that space between the inhale and the exhale, and just notice the stillness there. Mother Teresa said, tomorrow is gone. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not yet here. We have only today. Let us begin.
Thank you, Christine. Welcome, everyone. Hope you've had a great week. Even though it's only Tuesday, our time together is a full week. And just so you know, I'm hearing a bit of wind in the background. So if you're outside, that's so much better. Thank you. Just mute yourself. So again, I hope you've had a great week. We're having glorious weather here in Boulder, Colorado, as I'm sure Randy can attest to. And so before we start into our agenda for the day, and be mindful for the amount of times that you've shared or haven't shared. These are opportunities to speak up. So I'd like to check in with three of you. And if you could please share one win, one of the action challenges on page 6 of the yoga supplement. And then if your intention has changed for this program, what has changed? And you can simply say it's the same, or if it's different, let us know what's different. So a win, an action challenge, and has your intention changed? Who would like to begin?
Okay, now somebody has to talk here. The action challenges. Sue.
Thank you, Sue.
Okay. I've had a very challenging week. So, my thinking in responding to this program has not changed, but things have gotten in the way for the last 6 days that I've been really, really busy. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's been a really challenging week. I can't tell you too much about a win. I've had a lot of challenges. If I don't have a win, then what? It's okay?
Of course. You are okay. Banned from this program. No, of course.
Yeah, I've had a really challenging week. So by here, I show up and I'm ready to roll.
There you go. There's a win right there. Did you take any of the action challenges on page 6 of the other supplement that you like to share?
Let's see. I try to use these in my everyday life. Persistent energy is a good one. One Step at a Time is a good one. Understanding and Change in My Way of Thinking, Responding. I kind of wish other people would kind of understand and change in the way of their thinking and responding.
So, Sue, can I interrupt you for a second?
Yes.
I'm on page 6 of the yoga supplement, and I'm curious where you are at this moment.
I'm on the wrong page then. Okay. I'm on page 6 of the action challenges. You're on page 6 of
yoga supplement under the action challenges. So the first line says, on the mat, what do you want to get out of this yoga class today? Or
I'm looking at the secret is to put consistent and persistent energy into building your comfort and expertise every day. So I'm in the wrong section. I'm on page 6 of that. So let me go to...
All right. Hang on to that thought and find that and say no pressure there. And let's have another person go, Sue, while you're finding your place. And go ahead and share what's most appropriate for you to share in this moment.
Genevieve. I'll go.
Okay. Thanks, Genevieve. Hi.
Hi. My win this week was... I went walking in Redwood Park. There's a regional park kind of where I live, and they had this thing called Art in Nature, which was fabulous. And I was with a couple of friends of mine, and we were talking about love and life and things, and my girlfriend just turned to me, and she's like, Genevieve, I have seen so much growth in you over the last 4 months, and I just want to acknowledge that to you, and I'm really proud of you, and blah, 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 blah. So that just felt really wonderful for a friend of mine who's really close to see that I've been, you know, growing in what I've been doing. And a challenge, I always have a hard time coming up with challenges because I really enjoy life.
Just to clarify, Genevieve, the challenges for this particular day and session is a little different. It's to choose one of the action challenges from the supplement.
Okay,
so that will probably give you a little bit more clarity.
Okay. So the what is my intention in reading this workbook? I am just trying to, you know, pull out of it the goods. And so, you know, when we do our reading, I have a little workbook and I write down what they are so that, you know, it's bullet pointed and really to just get the keys, I would say, from the book and just highlighting them. Like I, you know, wrote down about the SMART goals and then, effective coaching tools and 2-dynamic coaching equations and, of course, the mentor coaching model and what to listen for, powerful questions, 5 types of questions. So I've just gone through and extracted and put down in a book just the highlights of what is being offered through Yoga to Life.
Very nice. And has your intention for this program changed at all since we started?
No, not really.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah, powerful to be acknowledged by your peers and your friends. And I love that you're putting some organization around the homework piece. So great job. Sue, I want to step back to you very briefly and see if you joined us on page 6 and if you wanted to share one of those challenges.
Let me unmute you. I did. So we have a couple page 6s here. Action challenge on the mat. What do you want to get out of this yoga class today? Whenever I'm in a class, I always say, okay, who am I going to meet? Who am I going to see? And how can I make a difference or how can someone make a difference in my life? So, you know, my action is to look and see and be observant and take in good energy that I can.
Great. Simply put and powerful. So thank you. Thank you for sharing. One more person to share what your week has been like.
Shall I try? Carla.
Absolutely. Let me just preface Carla's speaking by telling you that she shared with me that there are helicopters circling above her head because the president's there. She lives near Central Park. I think they're actually there for her to give her a ride somewhere, but we don't hear them. So go ahead and, yes, take this opportunity.
They are a little farther at the moment. That's why I unmuted immediately.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. I had something with a coach session this week. Someone that I was coaching, he is struggling at the moment, actually with himself, but he thinks all the problem that his partner is doing all, making all the problems. So when he was telling me some things, I just asked him, how do you want him to behave? And then he mentioned a lot of things. He has to do this. And my second question was, okay, and how did you communicate one of these things to him, and how did you communicate it? And his answer was, he was silent for a moment, and then he said, I didn't communicate any of those things to him because I don't have to communicate it, because he knows me for 30 years, so he must know how I think and how I feel. And that was, and a couple of seconds later, he said, oh, wait a minute, I see it. If I don't tell him, even after 30 years, I can't assume him to know what I am exactly feeling or thinking. So I have to tell him. And that was a great breakthrough, I think.
Absolutely. Wonderful. How about an action challenge, Carla?
My action challenge this week on the mat was every time that I was on the mat, that I used that to simply be with myself, completely with myself on the mat, and try to just concentrate on the instructions and how I was doing everything. And I succeeded. And that was great as well, because every time I was very relaxed after the class.
Beautiful. Thank you. And has your intention changed since we began the program?
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I'm getting more and more excited about the program. The more I read, the more focused I am with the program. And it's a big gift.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. And the win that you shared with us, you were providing a powerful example of what powerful questions can do, because this action challenges, powerful questions, you know, it shows up in different places in our life, and on the mat, off the mat, in our relationships. And so just noticing and observing how those powerful questions begin to shift the perspective and the people that you are either working with or talking with or relating to is really empowering to see. So thank you for that example. Okay, great, thank you. All right, we are going to move into our agenda. Before we do, were there any specific questions on the reading material from last week to this week? Okay. Wonderful. That seems to be my word of the day. I never say that. Okay, let's turn to page 98, please. in your manual. And
Sasha?
Yes?
This is Carla. Sorry for interrupting. I have one question, but that's not with the reading of this week. This is, has to do with the reading of last week on page 95.
95. Okay, what's your question?
95, the last one. Listen for self-reference in the first or second person. Do I have it correctly that if a person is talking in the first person, he is aware of what's happening, and if he talks in the second person, it's because he's not aware of what he is doing?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. And yeah, definitely the first person is more of using the pronoun I, and they're talking from their center. They're giving you their direct experience, right? So I would definitely agree with you that awareness is part of that. In the second person and referring to, you know, he, she, the different pronouns, that might be a place to examine. And why is there a separation? And also looking at if they're going back and forth from first person to second person. Like, are they, what part of the story do they then shift from one person to another? Does that make sense? Like, looking
yes.
to the for the consistency of how they're using their pronouns, and maybe really a smart place to investigate or explore with them when they shift over to a different pronoun.
Okay, perfect. Question
okay.
clear.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Great question. Okay, page 98. We talked a couple weeks ago about the simple coaching model tools, and today we're going to dive in a little bit deeper and distill down number two, determining useful intervention moments or the coachable moments. So would somebody please just a sentence or two to share with the group what your takeaway is on this number two piece of the simple coaching model, the coach's aha moment? You can read, you can share your experience, doesn't matter, just a brief summary.
Hi, this is Randy.
Randy, welcome.
I know, it's crazy. I won't even tell you what's been going on here. I'm actually not in Colorado, I'm in Minnesota.
I'm sorry, it's gorgeous here, but...
Yeah, well, it's gorgeous here too, actually.
Okay.
But so I think the use for intervention moment, I really liked when they, you know, there's something that shows up, and it seems like it's a difference, whether it's an inconsistency in what they're saying, something that catches, oh, this is different than the normal kind of flow that's happening. The list is a wonderful list of nervous laughter, some all of a sudden emotions may come up, but there's something that tweaks it a little bit to say, there's something here.
Mm. Great insight. That sums it up in there. You can expand on that more, but that serves a purpose now. So it was just a quick, brief summary, and we'll all turn to page 113. And if you did the reading, you know, from page 113 to 24, this section is all about 9 subtle clues that will enable you as reminders, as places to look for, things to look for, as ways to come up for that aha moment. So really, you know, the coach's job is to explore and initiate. You know, this is an opportunity to take the client's agenda from where they are and sort of expand on it. And just piggybacking on what Randy just said, you know, noticing some clues or some subtle nuances that are different that sort of send a light bulb off in your head as, that might be something to further explore. And they list in this section 9 subtle clues to help you sort of discern or distill down to an aha moment, or, you know, just making the agenda a little bit clearer. So on page 114, it's what I'd like you to do. They list the 9 subtle cues, right, for the coachable moment, to the coachable moment. I would like each of you, there's 7 of us, and you're each going to get a turn. So whatever 1 through 9, obviously we'll miss 2, whichever one of these subtle cues calls out to you, what I'd like for you to do, and you can read a little bit, but not a lot, because they break down the sections, what it means to you, you know, how you understand it, and how it can support building the coachable moment. And if we have time, I'm going to ask you to give a parallel to yoga. And maybe sometimes coming back to the yoga piece helps us understand it a little bit, because yoga is what we know. And it's for most of us, we're learning how to be a mentor coach. So it doesn't matter to me which one you do first. But pick one, explain what it means to you, and then give an experience of it, whether on the mat or off the mat. Who would like to start off our little discussion?
It's Sue.
Thank you, Sue.
Nervous laughter or sighs. My experience is when someone sighs. something's going on in their head. They're thinking about something, or, they want to say something. A sigh is just a way to not have their thought come out.
Great. And can you share an experience where either you've done that in a situation and what that was like, or where you've had been in conversation or engagement on or off the mat where a client or a student has done that and what that experience was like?
Well, I can share that my mother-in-law used to do that all the time. She died at 97, and she used to sigh a lot. If she didn't want to express what she was really thinking, she would sigh. And then that was it. There was no more going there with her. She would let out a sigh, and, you know, you got to figure out what else was going on.
So in that moment, how did that make you feel when she sighed?
I would think, so what's that about? Must have something to do with, you know, her upbringing, and then I get really deep. You know, she was in an orphanage, and it could go on and on, you know, and I try and understand what the sigh meant.
Great. That's a really great example and a personal example. Thank you so much. Anybody have any questions around how this could show up, this nervous laughter or sighs? Or aren't clear on what this means. Okay, great. So it's one clue. Sorry, I always say a cue because I'm teaching. One clue as to maybe something different that's coming up in your conversation. Great. Who would like to go next, please?
This is Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
The one that stands out or I find extraordinarily helpful is focusing on the missing pieces in the story. And it talks here about often when something is missing from your client's story, it's also missing from their awareness. And so in practice, I'm finding it to be kind of like a key. So when I'm paying attention and I catch that, like, they've just moved from A to D, but B and C aren't there, it's also helpful for me in forming my questions to focus on this particular tell, if you want to put it that way. And I had a situation on Friday with a woman that I work with, and she had had a situation that really, really upset her. And it upset her more than would, I mean, be possibly normal. And so as she was retelling the whole situation, I found that if I focused on what she wasn't saying and cued my questions to that missing piece, it seemed to fill things out for her. And she eventually got to what was a huge conclusion, where she recognized somebody had said something that she had done hurt their feelings. And this woman I was working with was beside herself, and she finally realized that the missing piece was that she had a belief that equated doing something bad with being a bad person.
Mm.
So she had done something wrong, and in her emotional experience, in her mind, in her whole repertoire, that equated to, and it really was just focusing on those pieces that were missing that allowed me to ask the questions, and that allowed the client to, like, fill in the blanks on their own and come to the conclusion on her own. So that was really, really a powerful experience for me.
It sounds like it. And so I love what you said, that really listening for the missing links in the story and designing your powerful questions around those missing pieces. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, that's exactly the process that I went through. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very, very powerful. And it sounds like it was helpful for the client to get through that process and come to the awareness herself.
Mm. Yeah, she seemed to be really excited.
Hey.
It was great.
Sign up for 10 more sessions.
I know. Keep
it
going.
Score. Okay, great. That's awesome. Thanks, Jamie. Who would like to pick another clue and share with the group?
I'll go. This is Christine.
Thank you.
I was looking at inconsistent statements. I have a friend who will always say to me things like, well, I'm really unhappy with my job. I'm really unhappy with my living situation. Unhappy, he's unhappy with a variety of things in his life. And I'll say things like, oh, well, would you want to do this? Could you try that? I'll ask questions. And he'll always say, well, no, can't do that. Can't try this. Can't do that. So he's saying he wants to change, but I can see that he's stuck because he doesn't really want to make changes.
Hmm. And so what, did you further the conversation?
So we've been having these conversations for years and years. It's the same conversation. It doesn't change much on his end.
So as a coach, with what you know now after being in this program for 4 weeks or almost five, are there any tools that you've learned that would help?
I think if we had the conversation now, instead of suggesting things that he could try, I would make it much more open-ended. What do you think you could do to improve this for yourself? That sort of a question. I think that would be a lot more effective than maybe just saying, oh, well, could you try this or could you try that?
Right. And those powerful questions elicit in the client more thought-provoking language, you know, and awareness. And we talked about last week that the impetus has to come from the client, you know, with a nudge from us for it to really stick and have an impact and create change.
Because his instinct is to automatically reject any statement that implies change. Nope, couldn't do that. If he were to come up with that on his own, that might work better for him.
How do you feel about, and this is open to the group as well, what could you do? How do you feel about that question in this particular situation?
Sue.
What could I do as me or as him?
No, in this situation that Christine and her friend, he keeps harping on, he can't do this, he can't do that. You know, what is your feeling on the effect of the question, what could you do?
Well, this is Joy.
Thank you, Joyce.
Hello?
Yes,
oh, hi. I was muted or not. Okay, if you ask the question, what could you do, or is there another question when the person is saying no, no, no?
No, I was simply making a suggestion and ask, like, that's what I would do. That's where my coaching would take me. If a person kept repeating this, I would just frame it back to them with the positive. So from problem thinking to possibility thinking. So I was just asking any of you how that question lands. Do you think it would be effective?
I think it would. I mean, it takes him out of his old story into a path toward his new story. Like, you know, gosh, what are the possibilities? What could you do differently?
Right.
Yeah, it's Randy. I think the thing, I love that question. It's very nice. It does shift toward the possibility thinking. For me, what would be important is just, again, really looking at the tone of voice, which I know we talked about last week, but just how important that is, that it's either neutral or curious or in empowering, because I know sometimes it can be frustrating to hear somebody, and I know I have to watch myself being angry at, well, what could you do? Like, what, can you do something? I would, you know, feel that coming up.
Absolutely. That's such a great point, Randy. The intention and the maybe the heart-centeredness and compassion and clarity and energy that creates the language itself.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Genevieve. I feel that I would, if I was being coached and someone offered that, I think I would be a little frustrated because I would be telling that person, like, I can't do this, I can't do this, and it would be like, well, what can you do? It's like, can you just hear me? I was just telling you that I can't. I mean, I get it, right? But I'm just saying, like, that would be a little frustrating. I think, like, a better way to frame a question would be, well, what's one thing that you love to do? You know, but I just feel like it was kind of like a mockery, you know, to that person. I could say, I can't do this. I can't. Well, what can you do? You know, I mean, I get Randy when he said, you know, the languaging, the way that you phrase that definitely would have to be in a way that left it, you know, feeling open. But I feel that when you ask, you know, would that be a good question? My first thought was no, because it's like that's what the person's telling you. But I get it, you know, it's like, you know, these statements, like when you hear them, someone saying the statement over and over and over and over again, it makes sense to use that and roll with that to help them see something different.
Right, and I totally hear you, and your take would be a little different. And the question, I love what you said, you just added some words, and it was just simply an example. But you've got to figure out what the relationship is between you and your client, what you guys have established, how you're working together, how you are, how they are, and what language serves you. And ultimately, you're still putting it back on them to provoke a little bit of internal thought around change.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. So there's no right or wrong here. You know, you can pose it however you'd like.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks, Genevieve. Who hasn't gone that would like to pick a clue and share?
I will.
Thanks, Joyce.
Okay, strong or weak energy. I mean, it seems fairly obvious. I noticed that people have a tremor in their voice. I guess I would connect that with weak energy. So when you're speaking to them, there is a little tremor, which reminds me of fear. So this weak energy is coming either from a place of fear, being unsure, versus the strong energy can be good, can be happy, but also if it's like really strong and a little bit out of sync with everything else, it could be anger and it could also be fear. I mean, it's something you'd really have to read. I mean, it seems obvious, weak or strong, but I don't think it is so obvious.
Great. And Joyce, is there an experience that you can recall where this happened?
Well, let's see. If I'm going to use myself as an experience, sometimes I might come on really strong when I'm feeling my most vulnerable, just to kind of like, you know, fake it till you make it sort of thing. Like in yoga, if we want to make this as an application to the mat, you know, I go in there and I'm scared to death lots of times. But, you know, I giggle a lot. Like I guess this goes back to the nervous laughter. I'm always the first one to giggle on the mat. So, you know, I mask it. So all those emotions, or the weak and the strong, it could be a mask, too. You have to read through that.
Right.
Or look deeper, I suppose.
And do you see how this clue could open the doorway to clarifying more of the client's agenda?
Yeah, absolutely. If they are stating their agenda and you can read their energy and it is either too strong or too weak, then I'd question the agenda and maybe ask a little more to get some clarity on it.
Would you be open to asking them how they feel? And again, it depends on where you are with your client, what their spiritual background, not necessarily spiritual, but what their mindfulness practices are,
mm-hmm.
that maybe can you check in with your energy? And if someone's never used that word in that context before, it wouldn't be appropriate, obviously. But if you had a client that was a yogi, or you know, a practitioner of energy work or body work or mindfulness practices, would you feel comfortable checking in with your client on, you know, noticing their energy?
I would have to. I mean, I would have to address it. I was in a yoga class last week next to a girl that appeared, you know, like really happy and friendly when I'd seen her before. And I just noticed something about her, and we were talking before class started, and there was just some inconsistency there. And I just said, you know, you seem a little, like, amped up or something today. And she told me, like, you know, she'd just gotten laid off from work, and there was a lot of stuff that I think you would definitely, I would have to address it. I would have to say, I'm noticing this. What do you feel? How do you feel?
Great. Great. Thank you. And thanks for drawing in the yoga piece, yoga parallel. Okay, who hasn't gone that would like to go next? Thanks, Joyce.
I haven't gone. I would love to go if I can.
Thanks. Yes.
So I will pick number 7. Assumptions, interpretations, and limited perspectives. I guess for me, what I see is when people are, what strikes me is when they're making sort of global statements or statements that aren't quite personal and grounded. So whether they're an assumption or interpretation, or maybe it's so personal that it has their belief system wrapped all around it and they're not quite seeing things clearly enough, or their perspective seems so, limited in some way. It seems like it could be helpful to just point that out, to say, there seems, being curious about, okay, where is that assumption coming from? because it seems like there could be a lot you could unpack from that that's driving a lot of where they're either going to or being limited by.
Great. Thanks, Randy. And I'm going to challenge you, how could you formulate a question around that exact thing? A powerful question to your client.
You know, I noticed you had a certain assumption of the way this was done. Like, can you say more about what that is and how that works for you? Like, how is that serving you or limiting you? Maybe? I'm just guessing.
Great. Those are like four questions in one.
Yeah.
Those are great.
Do you want just one?
There's this acronym that we use. Genevieve, you'll probably smile at this because I know you know this, being the Foam Core Power, but we use an acronym in our teacher training called KISS, K-I-S-S, Keep It Simple, Sweetheart, right? And you can even take off the other second S. So, again, be here, just want us keep it simple. Indirect and let them chew on that a little bit. But those would all work.
Okay, good. I think I was kind of talking out loud. And my guess is that kind of hearing myself and hearing you, I might get the idea of like just pick one and have that be powerful and potent.
Or just pick one to start, let them answer, and then you can continue on with the others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Randy. Is there anyone else that hasn't gone?
It's Carla.
Thanks, Carla.
I'll take number one of repeated words, phrases.
Carla, you broke up a little bit there, so come a little closer to the mic. I did not hear what number you've chosen.
Number one. Is this better?
Number one?
Yes.
Okay.
Offbeat or repeated words. Phrases, especially repeated words or phrases when somebody says that all the time. And last week I asked her about it. She repeat a lot of times that she's not afraid and feel completely safe, comfortable. And the question that I asked her at when we were talking was, could you please tell me what is your definition of safety and feeling scared? To let see how actually that she is afraid and doesn't safe. By repeating all the time that she thinks safe and she's not afraid, she is. She tries to ignore the fact and deal with whatever is going on in her life at the moment.
Okay. You weren't as clear to me as you have been, but from what I got from that, it sounds like you were, that this was resonating with you, that you're working with somebody who is repeating phrases and you actually turn the light on to have your client become aware of what she was doing. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I tried to make it clear just by asking her to share her of the words care and safe for me.
Awesome. That's great. And can you see how effective this is in, just sort of distilling down to a more clear agenda and using this as a way to think to yourself, aha, there's something else going on there I want to explore. Awesome. That's great. All right. Thank you, Carla. I believe everyone has gone.
This is Genevieve. I didn't go.
Genevieve, except for Genevieve. I didn't finish my sentence. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
Genevieve.
So that leaves two, which role inflation. I'll take that one. And it's interesting they call it role inflation. I just I think this is a great one to listen for, and how they've mentioned in here that, you know, it's like role inflation. Someone feels they have to take on the load of everything, of whatever it is that they're doing. And it's a great reminder to let our clients know that about the support systems as it suggests, because, you know, having support as a human being is very important. And to just, bring to the awareness to our clients to ask for support of what they're doing with us, you know, as their coaching clients.
And so I'm curious, you said it's interesting they call it role inflation. What word pops to your mind instead?
I don't know. I just... You know, it's like there are different schools of thought on one subject and different schools of thought with all different things. But, I mean, I don't even know. I've never even seen that before, but I just thought it was interesting. Role inflation. I don't know what word pops up. Maybe there's, you know, something like, yeah, ask for support, or, you know, do you have support or something like that.
No, you don't have to search for a word. I thought maybe you had a word in mind since you brought it up way. No. Okay. Because some people think this goes and aligns with ego.
With what?
Ego.
Oh, ego. Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
Uh-huh. Kind of, I can do it all. I don't need anyone else. You know, I don't need any support or resources. So... Because I know and have experience of you as a yoga teacher, can you draw some kind of parallel to how this might show up with a student on the mat?
Well, yeah, when you're asking to do a posture and they injure themselves because they think they are just, like, I can do this even though my body said no. I'm going to keep going, I'm going to keep going, I'm going to keep going. I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And, you know, when, you know, maybe the teacher's clearly saying, you know, listen to your body and stop where you need to, because your ego can get in the way and tell you that I can do this.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. I think as yoga teachers, especially the style that we teach at Core Power, is a lot of Type A, a lot of power vinyasa, you know, there can be, and I don't want to veer off too much from role inflation and sticking with the coachable moments, but it's like stay here or, and so building up in steps to the place or the posture that you're moving towards in baby steps, stay here or, you know, if you feel good in your body or if this is in your practice. And so the takeaway for me with that example is to put this sort of care and nurturance around your client. You know, baby steps. You hear it all the time. If you're going to go from A to Z, your client is going to feel overwhelmed. And then it's so challenging and difficult to even take that first step. So really just reeling it in a little bit and just going slow and taking baby steps, allowing them to see their success, acknowledging it. Okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? Just like we build in postures on the mat. Great. That's awesome, Genevieve. Thank you. All right, any questions on how these clues can help create an opportunity for powerful coaching, for, you know, to kind of clarify the agenda, to step in and, you know, seize the coachable moment. Any questions on that? Okay, great. I just wanted to add a little piece here. Was someone going to speak?
Yeah, sorry, it took me a while to unmute.
That's okay.
The question I had was, it seems like these are useful, especially when the client doesn't have an agenda that they're either strong with or that they've come in with. Is that true?
It can be, certainly. Certainly, but it can show up anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It can show up in the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's something
maybe more important to shine a light on.
Exactly. So you're listening for these subtle clues that the client may not be verbalizing to you in a way that's direct. So we have to sort of be, we have to have our radar up, our antenna up. And these are some of the tools, the clues that we can look for in our clients to make a signal to us that, what's up there? What's going on there? Maybe that's a place to explore.
And does it ever show up that that will come up, but it's all of a sudden this whole other issue that's come up that maybe take more time than the time you have for the current session?
Say the question again, please.
Well, would, if you hear this coachable moment in the midst of a conversation that you're having, and it feels like, wow, that's a whole other, for lack of a better analogy, rabbit hole to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sometimes kind of either notice it and bring it up later or wait, or like that's just the art form of coaching, deciding to pick up a coachable moment?
That's a brilliant question, and that's really the crux of this conversation for the last, 40 minutes or so. When you get to that point, as a coach, when you have an aha moment, it's a place to step in. Because it's not your agenda. And whatever route they want to take, whether it's circuitous, whether it's direct, whether it goes, there's no chronology or anything, it really doesn't matter. I mean, as a coach, you'll piece it together eventually, but don't allow the amount of time you have left on the call to dissuade you from exploring, because exploring is really where the juiciness is and where they may be showing up less than their fears, their emotions, any of it. So my opinion and what's worked for me in the past and how I've been trained is when you feel it, then explore it and see where it leads you. Because many, 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 many times, I can't tell you how many people come to the call with a specific agenda, and by the time we're done, they're off on a completely different path. We are off on a completely different path.
Right.
So be open to that flow rather than the structure of having it look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It's Sue. Can I say something?
Please.
When we have to really be clear about where we draw the line between coaching and then being more therapeutic. So if you're coaching someone, then they go way off on other stuff and they're having other problems. You know, our goal is to coach them from today onward, correct? For their future, not from their past, right?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So I just wanted you to be able to finish your question so then I could appropriately.
Well, my question is my thought is, as a good coach, you have to listen for when it's for therapeutic or for a therapist or when it's for coaching. When people start going off and they get deep and they're going off on other things that are going on in their life. When we're coaches, right, and our goal is to coach from today on, so is that something that, is it art to look for?
Mm-hmm. Again, these are just such great questions from all of you, and I just so appreciate them. I'm going to actually open this up to the group for a couple minutes because I think it's a really important piece of what we're learning in this program. And we talked about it quite a bit in our very first session, the difference between therapy and consulting versus coaching. So does anybody want to share their thoughts briefly on what you would do in that situation? And if no one decides to share, Sue, I'll certainly share mine.
I actually had that same question. It's such a slippery subject. There is someone who I've met with 3 times already, and we're always talking about situations with her kids, but then she keeps bringing up things about her husband, which I mean, see, this is just me making an assumption that he's really the culprit, that it's becoming more and more obvious to me. But I don't think that she is ready to go down that path. So I've written these notes to myself to explore it further, but I am not comfortable exploring it right now because I don't feel that she is ready.
Right. Well, this is probably...
Okay.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Randy.
No, it was Sue.
Oh, not even close.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Hello.
Hey, Randy, do I sound like you?
No, you have that deep voice.
Yeah, I do that deep voice. I actually have a cold. I might have walking pneumonia that I caught from my granddaughter.
Oh, great.
No, I'm okay. So that was a good choice. That was very good.
And I'll just add on a little bit. You come to the collaborative process in agreement on many, many things. And if in the course of your relationship those agreements aren't being met and you are feeling like you are not serving your client in the role of a coach where they're showing up in agreement to what, you know, how the relationship is going to be moving forward, being accountable, you know, open-minded, whatever words you want to use. But if your client continues, and I think Jamie asked this question a few weeks ago, what happens when they go down that path? Do they come back to life coaching? If you feel that you are not able to serve your client around the parameters of what life coaching is, which is meeting them where they are and taking them to where they want to go, if you feel that it's being, your relationship is being compromised because you're not able to address the issues that they are presently dealing with, at that point, it's your responsibility to refer them out. They can either take it or leave it. But it's really super, super important for all of you to understand what coaching is and what coaching isn't, because we are not licensed psychologists. And again, you can't really, you got to be super, super careful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I sent everyone, if I didn't, I will, a little 1.5 minute recording from Dr. Dave on just this subject. Did I send it to you guys?
Well, I know, I'm sure we all sort of got it, but yeah, we're just still trying to open it, right, Joyce?
I mean, I don't know.
You're still trying to open it. Okay.
Yeah.
Did anybody get it that listened to it? Okay. I'll resend it.
I didn't, when did you send that?
You know,
I didn't get it.
I may not have. I'm going to, when I'm sending it is after this call.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like a 1.5 minute recording. Dr. Dave, who is a psychotherapist and speaks brilliantly to the clarity around what it is and what it isn't. I think that'll really, really help. Okay, great questions. You got, go ahead.
Can I share something really just quickly? It's Jamie.
Yes, Jamie.
I received a gift from somebody who was very skillful in what we're talking about. I had been triggered, and it was a very, very old feeling. I mean, way back to my childhood. And I called this woman. She's not necessarily a coach, but she certainly could be. And I was sharing everything that was going on, and at the end of the call, what I noticed and I remembered about how she dealt with the whole situation, that really strong emotion, she did not ask me why I was feeling the way that I was feeling. She asked me what I would like to do differently right now. And that opened a door for me that I'd never had opened before. And then she went on to say,
"You were open for it. You were ready for it. You were ready for it, and you were open for it."
Well, exactly. But I think that if she had asked me, why am I feeling the way that I'm feeling, I would have gone out the back door. I would have gone back into the past and started digging around. So the gift that she literally gave me was opening a door that I didn't know was there by simply saying, how do you want to do it? Like, how do you want to be with this right here and right now? What do you want to do differently?
And Jamie, I don't mean to cut you. Go ahead.
No,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to, we're at the top of the hour and we need to get into our coach to coach session. But it comes back to those powerful questions document. Why is not a word that we choose to use. It's how you frame it. And that made all the difference for you. And that's just a great reminder. So thank you. Okay, it is time for our coach to coach. And as I recommended last week, if someone could go ahead and name the 5 steps of the simple coaching model before we start, we will then get into our session. Who would like to share those? Page 97.
This is Genevieve. Sorry, it took a while to figure that out. The model, is that what you wanted?
Yeah, just simply name the 5.
Okay, so specify the client's agenda, determine useful intervention moments, shifting the perspective, framing the session, and follow up.
Wonderful, thank you. So today's discussion, obviously, we centered around defining the useful intervention moments in the coach's aha. So we'll be listening for that as well as the other pieces in the session where Genevieve will be coaching Sue and Jamie will lead our feedback discussion at the end. So everyone but Genevieve and Sue, please mute yourself and give us a second, you guys, and have a great call. Have a great conversation.
Hello, Sue, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, sorry. I guess I was unmuted before. Okay. How are you today?
I'm okay. I've been better, but I'm hanging in there. Thank you for asking.
Oh, I'm good. I'm glad. So you've been better. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, I've been a little under the weather. My granddaughter has had pneumonia. She's going to be 7, and she's been with me since Friday to yesterday. I was her nurse, so I was on lockdown in my house being grandma nurse for 4 days.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's okay. I handled it. It's just, it was pretty challenging.
Yeah. So what would you like to take away from our session today?
Well, I would like to talk about your thoughts on, I'm looking for a yoga position. I'm thinking about a yoga position in the yoga world. And my thoughts are, you know, if there's room for it.
I would like to be a yoga coach.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly, you're wanting to learn a new yoga pose?
No. I don't want to learn a new yoga. I would like to be a yoga coach.
Oh,
a yoga teacher.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I was unable to hear the word correctly, so I'm glad that I asked. So you'd like to be a good yoga coach?
I'm thinking I would be good at that, yes.
Okay. Are you currently teaching yoga?
Privates, yes.
Okay. So how would you describe your current way of teaching as to where you would like to go?
So let's start with
the first one. How would you describe your current teaching in your private?
I think it's great.
You think it's great? Okay. And
yeah,
so,
I think my current teaching is great. Yes.
Okay, and you're saying that you want to be. And you're saying that you want to be.
I want the current teacher. Okay. I wrote something down. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I've been practicing for so long, and I've been to so many classes. My interest is to help teachers become better teachers. Not to swap out struggling teachers, you know, for more advanced or struggling students for more advanced, but to build a system that supports teachers willing to put in the work, I wrote this down, it takes to move from a novice to competent, excellent, and beyond teacher so that, you know, we all have the best, you know, the best trained teachers that we can have. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that sounds great that you sound really prepared, that you already wrote down some goals that you'd like to work toward. Can you tell me a little bit about, do you do this currently with your private?
No, I would like to train teachers. Teachers like that have been to, like Core Power or, you know, yoga companies that train teachers, and they get trained and then they come out and, you know, they need help because they just need a little more training. I feel like my gift is, and my joy is to help all of us become better teachers. And to train.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm just trying to make a parallel between this place that you're saying that you want to go, you know, training teachers, and you know, you're currently you know, having one-on-ones with your privates. And so my question to you is there a way to that you could utilize your time where you're already teaching and doing privates, that you could, you know, link some of what you're doing towards ways to work with teachers. Just to
it's
sort of,
true.
You know, build
time
a
is time is yes, yes. Time is of the essence. You're absolutely right. So quality time and to make time to do this is yes. You're right. That's a good observation.
Yeah, and so you said that you had your goal. Can you state that one more time for me, please? But you have this very specific goal that
It's not very specific. It's just a thought. I have a lot of goals, but you know, to help build a system that supports teachers to becoming better teachers.
Okay, so
and
are
teachers
you
teachers who come out and they need assistance with, you know, where can I teach? How can I fine tune my teaching? Because some teachers come out of programs and, you know, they could use a little more help and assistance, which I think I would be really good at.
Okay. So what are some ways that you could invite.
I've done a lot already, and right now I need a bio. I would benefit from a better bio. A small website would help. So that's my goal right now, to help to get me to the next step. You know, on top of, like I said, I've been on lockdown in the house with my granddaughter who has pneumonia. So, just trying to, reach my potential, but still maintaining, you know, what I have to take care of in my life is a challenge.
Yeah. So, would it be possible for you to take a look at how you spend your time, make a list of how you spend your time, and make some adjustments to the schedule, possibly, to put in available time?
There are times when children come first. So it's not like I'm sitting on the couch eating bonbons or anything. I wake up and, I live in Chicago and I live in Florida, and, it's challenging to go back and forth and try to maintain, homes in each place and family and all that. So I'm pretty good with time because I've been balancing that for years. But when my granddaughter is sick, there's nothing, everything stops, okay? Everything stops when she needs, someone to take to nurse her back to health. So, that's been challenging, that I've been kind of on lockdown. Like, I was free yesterday, and I was ready for my call today. I have all my notes here. Tomorrow's another day, and I think I have some, nice goals and some nice action things to be doing. Learning to computer more is one of them. And what else? Help me out.
Okay, so it sounds like you have a really good outlook and perspective on where you're wanting to go and your goals and a good idea of, the fact that, life gets in the way and time can be consumed rather quickly. I'm wondering what you could do this today or even this week that would further your process toward either rewriting your bio or beginning to work on your website, which are two of the things you mentioned that you were wanting to really do.
Well, one of the most important thing right now, though, is to maintain a home practice, okay? I love a class. I love the energy of a class. I have for many, many years. I love a class. And my home practice has not been that great because I've been lucky enough to get up and go to class. So my goal this week, it won't be tomorrow, but hopefully the next 3 or 4 days, is to move some furniture around Chicago, because I have a nice room here that could be a nice small studio for me. And I can teach my privates here instead of having to go to the studio. So I think that is a really good action challenge for me this week, is to remove a couple of pieces of furniture in there and make it more my yoga room, which is what it was meant to be. How's that?
That sounds great. It sounds like with the ability to do that, sometimes when we have our yoga practice, we have new perspectives. And so I hear that you're saying that a goal that you'd like to do this week is to move your furniture around and get that ready for your home practice, because that seems like that's important to you right now.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so is there something else that you could possibly do this week in preparation for building website or...
Yes, I've already got a call-in. I have a call-in today. I was able to get that in today. I have a wonderful girl. Her name is Jackie. Jackie Johnson, and she's been able to help me with, she helped me order my business card. When there's so much going on, sometimes you need help, and I've learned to ask for what I need, and to get the help that I need. So I will hopefully be getting together with her this week to go to the next level with that. And I already have I have a name and, I've been working on it. It's just a matter of action, but sometimes life gets in the way and you just have to wait a couple of days. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like you're on the right path, and it's exciting to hear that you're excited about coming into something that you've really been wanting to do. And how else can I support you today? Is there anything else
Well, I guess you can keep me in your positive energies and thoughts.
I shall do that. So can you tell me when?
I hate to say pray for me tonight, but I'll pray for you tonight if you pray for me. How's that? It works. It works. If you believe in God or whatever, Jesus, the higher energy power, whatever, guys, you know him.
That sounds great. Thank you so much. And I look forward to hearing how your progress is going next week.
Thank you for being such a good listener.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Okay, so if Genevieve and Sue could put yourself on mute and everyone else stay on mute, but Jamie, come off, and would you please lead our feedback discussion?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So what I heard was a very friendly greeting, and I heard Genevieve pick up on Sue's underlying mood, and I heard good questions moving toward specifying Sue's agenda, specifying the client's agenda, which came out to be wanting to be a yoga coach, and then other questions that were trying to get at, I was a little bit confused. I heard some, there seemed to be some frustration, and then kind of a softening, and something shifted in what I was hearing in terms of their conversation, and things began to show kind of like an intervention and a shift in perspective, where Sue was focusing more on her idea and less on the things in her life that had sidetracked her from the idea. And then I heard very, very clear exploration of the idea and a really good way of framing the session, and as things started to kind of come forward in terms of specific goals, and the goals were repeated back to Sue. I thought that was done very skillfully. And then toward the end of the session, the question, how can I support you, was to me just a very direct and great question. Use all my ums. And then I heard really good closure at the end, and a very clear exploration of follow-up and how Genevieve could help.
Wow, that was good. Good observation.
Wonderful, Jamie.
Good observation.
Thank you for your insight, Sherry Sue. Thank you for your insight. the way I'd like to handle the feedback today, because it's really important to get Sue and Genevieve's feedback, let's take two people outside of those to share and give Genevieve some feedback of what you heard, what could maybe take her from good to great, just any support you'd like to give. And take yourself off mute if you're on mute.
It's Sue, I'm a little confused, and I think maybe we all are for not talking.
No, Sue, you're going to go, you and Genevieve are going to go live.
Okay.
So I'm asking someone else, two people who were not already participating, if they would like to give feedback in addition to what Jamie has already provided. What did you notice? What did you hear? What was missing?
Hi, it's Joyce.
Thanks, Joyce.
Okay. All right. I want to support Genevieve because I think she was very skillful in what she did. When she asked Sue how she was feeling, and immediately Sue told her she'd been better. So she was empathetic and said, can you tell me more about it? But Sue kept going back. She stated her agenda. But she still kept going back to what a challenging week that she had had. And I don't know how Genevieve did it, but she somehow was able to calm Sue down because I think that was overwhelming in her mind. That was all she could think of. Somehow she got Sue to be a little bit more focused on something she could do. I love the moving furniture around. That's almost metaphorical. That's a great thing. And I felt that Sue calmed down quite a bit.
Interesting. That's great, because Jamie brought up the word frustration, that she sensed frustration.
Mm-hmm.
You just shared your phrase of calming down, and it sounds to me like you guys are really using your intuition and reading the energy, which is just exactly what we talked about today. And working with that a little bit. So great insight. Thanks, Joyce. One other person to share?
Sure. A question I had was I wasn't sure what the frustration was, whether it was Sue's frustration and not being heard early enough around what she was looking for in terms of being a coach of other yoga teachers, or whether it was the frustration of the last few days she's had with her granddaughter. So that was unclear to me.
Jamie,
what I noticed was...
Oh, hang on one second, Randy. Jamie, would you just elaborate briefly on what you meant when you used the term frustration?
Well, I heard the frustration in just the tone of voice. I have to go back to my notes around what Sue meant by being a yoga coach. That's when I started to pick up the frustration from both ends.
Okay. Thank you. Randy, does that help clarify a little bit?
Yeah, that was
okay.
What my sense was too, and I liked how Genevieve kind of kept back, but it was a difficult moment there to figure out, what this was about, and Sue seemed very passionate about wanting to coach. So clarifying that was helpful to see how that worked through, and then I noticed the conversation shifted to from like how to become a yoga coach to wanting to do more practice, home practice. So I noticed there was a shift in the conversation of what was most important for her. And just nicely wrapping up with, okay, what can we do next? What would you like to do to meet those goals, what those goals were at that moment?
Mm-hmm. Randy, what was the aha moment for you? Or did you hear one?
the aha moment from Sue?
No,
in the conversation.
Like, what was your experience? Was there an aha moment that was reached in this session?
I'm not sure I can pinpoint one.
Okay.
Because I got a little lost in between, you know, whether the focus was going to be on what next steps she was going to take as becoming a yoga coach, because there was a lot of passion and excitement. It was really nice to hear. And then there was kind of the frustration of not quite being clear on what that is and what the next steps were, and then it shifted to the, be helpful to do my own practice and how that works.
Okay.
Well, this is Genevieve. I apologize. My phone died. It got too hot, and I couldn't hear anything for the last, 4 or 5 minutes.
Wow. Well, you did a great job with not hearing.
That is too bad.
Okay.
I was really bummed. I'm like, oh, my God.
No worries. Sue, just give us a brief experience of what that was like for you.
Well, it was very challenging for me to, I wanted to be really open and honest about how rough things had been and, you know, the last couple of days. And my other thinking was that, what a learning experience for everyone, because you're going to get clients, you know, like this that are going to call and say, guess what? I just had a week from hell, but I wanted to show up. Here I am. This is what happened. Now, how do you deal with that client? Right? So, I'm sorry, hold on. So my thought was, you know, this will be a really good discussion for all of us. You know, how do you go from the week that they've had to, you know, what are you going to do to reach your goal tomorrow? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And for you to show up like all of you have done, I want to be... I just want to share that all of you have shown up very authentically and from your heart. And this is a safe, you know, embodied container. And so if you're feeling the support of your peers and showing up authentically, we all make the most of our learning. So thank you for doing that. And I just want to briefly address Sue's point is, yes, you're going to get clients coming to your call in a plethora of ways. You have no idea how they're going to show up. And maybe that call is around their frustration for the whole week. Maybe they want to miss it. So I guess what I'm trying to expose in some ways, don't feel fearful that it always has to be tied up in this package somebody's got a little background noise, so if everyone could mute, please. Thank you. It doesn't always have to look a certain way, because if we are always focused on the goal, then that's our agenda. Yes, we want to keep the client accountable in action, being really clear on their agenda. But if they're coming to a call with a sense of, and this is just an example, frustration, they don't feel well, how has that impacted their day, their week, their ability to reach their goals? That is as much a part of the coaching process as is getting there. Because what they're experiencing in that moment can certainly come up again, and how they choose to manage and use the tools that either you're giving them or you're working together on will enable them to have a resource to come back to the next time that it happens. So my suggestion is that could have been an aha moment, you know, just in terms of maybe we need to explore here a little bit and then to see where it takes you. Like I've said every week, and I will continue to say 15 minutes is so short, so short. And we only have a minute left. So, Genevieve, I'm going to give you a little bit of my feedback, and then we'll let you say a few words if you'd like. So, wonderful acknowledgement in the beginning, just really being sensitive to how Sue is feeling. right off the bat, what would you like to take away from this call? It's a great way to start the conversation. I felt the energy was a little tenuous in the beginning, but the more and more you guys got into it, your energy is extremely supportive, extremely positive, extremely nurturing. That's the energy that I got from your tone of voice. And you know, you reached the agenda. I would ask more specifically, what does that look like to be a yoga coach? So you did get into it a little bit. Again, probably with more time would come more specific detail. But, you know, distill it down a little bit. Just really get into more of the specifics with as much time as allowed. And I can totally understand you made some suggestions about what she could do to begin to reach her goals, but empower her and empower your client to come up with those suggestions and ideas themselves by continuing to ask those powerful questions. And then I think at the end, towards the end, Sue had mentioned to you, how's that? Just like sort of a wrap up, like, is that okay? Or, you know, we've agreed to this. How is that? And what I would have said at that time is, how does that feel to you? You're always putting it back to the client. How does it feel to you? Does that seem manageable enough? I know you lost the call a little bit there towards the end, so I'm sorry for that. But once you got to that point, what I would have liked to seen is a follow-up. And I think you started the sentence. It's like, by when can I expect you can I hear from you to see if you've moved the furniture? You know, the follow-up piece has been missing the last couple of weeks. So we really want to tie up the call by having them commit to something on a certain date so you can check in with them before the next call. Okay. Genevieve, if you've got anything to add, just about 30 seconds, you're welcome to.
Well, I'm a little frustrated because I didn't get to hear feedback from what Sue thought or what other people are thinking because my phone died. So,
well, here's the good news. Here's the good news. It's recorded. So you can go, after 24 hours, you can go to the class page link, and then you can fast forward. You certainly don't have to listen to the whole call. Fast forward till about, you know, 4 o'clock. An hour in,
right.
And then listen to the coaching session, and you'll get it all.
Yeah. So I just thank you, Sue. Just quickly, I did feel it was weird to be the coach and feel the frustration because I, you know, it's like you can assume whatever was going on, but I felt like, oh my gosh, I'm not answering her need or fulfilling her need here right now, and that's why she's getting frustrated. I don't know why she's frustrated. I missed that. But maybe I can go back and listen to it.
Definitely. And you can shift the perspective there. So go ahead and mute because it's a little echoey. You can even ask her about the frustration. I'm sensing some frustration. Is there something you want to share, something you want to talk about? So that's just one option. But go back and listen to it and see how you feel. And always reach out to myself, your buddy, anyone in the group. We're all here to support each other. And I think you guys did great. It's really, really challenging and scary to jump into this work in front of your colleagues. So I'm really proud of all of you. Okay. That being said, we are a few minutes over, and I apologize for that. Your homework is just to review your SMART goals. I'm sorry, let me start at the top. Read pages 133 through 143 and the related articles on pages 233 and 237. It's on your syllabus. And then just revisit your SMART goals or keep working on them and check in with your buddy. If anyone is having any issues around buddy check-ins or need additional support, let me know. Otherwise, I will send you the audio, Dr. Day's audio on what I referred to earlier in the conversation. Okay, you can unmute yourselves to say goodbye if you choose. Thank you all for showing up so graciously and authentically, and I look forward to speaking to you next week. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you.
You're
Namaste.
Welcome.
Thank
you.
See you
next week.
Thank you.
Ciao. Ciao.